We're going to go to John 4:23. Stay where you are in the spirit. Don't go away now. Don't go, okay, the song service is over. It's not a song service. We don't have a song service. And Holy Spirit, you just have your way at any moment. Anything you want to do. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I thought so. Thank you, Lord. Just listen to a little bit of this. This will give you the feel of what we're doing. Thank you, guys. That's beautiful. And Nina, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John 4:23 says, but the hour cometh now, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. So Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. They're talking about worship and a lot of other things. Worship is not great songs and great musicianship. We like it. It's good. But it's about you. It's about your heart. It's about your relationship with God. It's an act of pure adoration. You're just adoring the God of the universe. Where above all circumstances, even without wonderful voices or instruments or latest technology, with all the highs and the lows, the trials, the successes, whatever is happening in our lives, we can worship the King of Kings. Right. You can do that all by yourself. Yep. You can do it in your car. You can do it in your house. You can do it in the restroom. You can do it anywhere you are. Lord, I worship you and I give you glory. I give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you. I praise you. You're the object of my best affection. I just adore you, Lord. You can do that anywhere. It's a positive act. Its essence is something given, not something given up. It's free. It's a free will offering. And it embodies and reflects this selfless generosity of God. We're being grateful for the way he is and how he's treated us and how wonderful he is to all of us. It's a positive thing. And, the actual Hebrew for it means to make oneself low, to stoop down, in the Greek, proskuneo, I think. Maybe proskuneo. Anyway, it's like when Boone comes and licks my hand. He gives my doggy, my caliph, my loyal. That's what dogs are. They're loyal. And they'll come and just lick your hand because they're just faithful like that. That's how they are. That's the feeling of when you worship God. It's just when you come to him going, hey, Papa, I love you. I adore you. It's that same sense. It's to revere. It's when you are showing your devotion. Who's the subject of worship? It's not the saints. It's not musicians. It's not Mary, by the way. It's not the angels. It's Father and Jesus. And what we understand from the scripture is that he's seeking worshipers, not worship ritual. He's seeking worshipers. Worship is for Jesus. It's not us. Worship is not music. Musical instruments are not actually even instruments of worship. They're not. They're instruments of music. But they're good to use. Worship is a thing of the heart. Music is just the vehicle. We're grateful. But worship is just expanded through music. Amen. It's eternal because sound goes on forever. You can ask the musicians here. Woo. We just got a tangible hit right there. You can ask the musicians here. this sound that travels out of what you play or what you sing, or it goes on forever. Words go on forever. Sound continues. And those that are leading us in that, God's writing on that sound. He's writing on that sound. He's writing on your sound. That's how this, that's how this thing works. Praise the Lord. So it does involve prayer. Worship involves prayer. It's responding to Christ. It's not performed. It's poured. It's poured. When you're singing that, it's poured. We don't have performers. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to talk in English. I'm working on it. Thank you, Jesus. Recognizing Christ's worthiness, Christ-centered. And listen to me, not kingdom-centered, Christ-centered, not kingdom-centered, Christ-centered. Kingdom? Yes, we're all about that. I've been preaching kingdom all my preaching life. But this is Christ-centered. This is God-centered. The kingdom is his realm, his reign, and his rule. But we're talking about the person of God, the person of God who deserves all the glory. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Don't miss that, church. Yeah, you need to know about kingdom, but you need to know about Christ-centered kingdom. Amen. Giving, not getting. To bring pleasure to God. Extreme submission and extravagant love. Absolute abandon, adornment. Adornment? Is that a word? Adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Adoration. Adornment. That's a new word.
Abandon, adoration.
That's those together, isn't it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Y'all thought I was just falling over my words. Truth is, I am. God is good. God is so good. We adore you, Lord. We adore you. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you. The simplest songs are coming back into the church now. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Oh, Lord. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Yes.
You're just lifting up God. The songs that have played out over the last decade, they've been good. And they're worthy, and they've taught us who we are, and they've taught us a lot of things about God and helped us worship God. But some of those ones that are coming back around, the songs about the blood, the blood is near and dear to the heart of God. Of the Father, that's His Son's blood. And it's precious to Him. The glory is connected to the blood. Now that woman at the well, you know the story. We'll just go over it for just a moment, if we can. They're there and she's talking religion. Y'all worship here and we worship there. That's basically what she's doing. Your denomination says we ought to go over here. Our denomination says we ought to go over here in this city. And so she's saying, so Jesus, where should I go to church? That's what she's doing. And he gives her this surprising answer. He says, the hour is coming and is even here right now that my Father desires that you worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying that to us. He's letting her know that her whole attitude is going to have to change. You know, this has been a year for me. My attitude's had to change about a lot of things. This has been a year of correction. And I've taken a lot of it. And I know you have too. And I'll continue to, because I'm going to do what's right and do it right. I know you want to too. But one of the things we have to do is change our attitude about some things. So it's not about a certain place. It's about what you're doing in here. When you receive Jesus, you literally become a temple of where God lives. Can you put that music on just real low? Just real low, but put that on for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it. Praise God. Matthew 27:50-51 says, when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. What am I talking about here? I just want to get this over to you, that the veil was torn by supernatural power. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. Okay? Top to bottom. Only God could do that. That thing was thick. The presence of God left the Holy of Holies, and he came into our hearts. Jesse, he came into our hearts. Mac, he came into our hearts. We have the living God, Charlotte, inside of us, in our hearts. The living God is on the inside of us. Sometimes we walk around like he's on Jupiter. Is that still a planet? So far. Joe said so far. Just simply, when we approach or we worship God, we come on the basis of him being alive in our spirits. Connect with that. Just connect with that. We approach him according, certainly, to the principles that he lays out in the word, but that his spirit's alive on the inside of us. Now, just real quick, I want to talk about congregation here. I want to say things to you to just help you with your flesh right here, okay? Can we do that? Never, here's the truth, never do anything because people are looking at you. And never refrain from doing anything because people are looking at you. You just do what you feel like you're supposed to do in God. Like, what if people think I'm what? Well, for one thing, you're in a room right now with good company. Don't let pride and dignity get in your way. Things that inhibit giving ourselves to worship is one is guilt and condemnation. I don't feel like I'm worthy. Can I tell you are? Jesus made you worthy. The other thing is pride. Pride says, that's too emotional for me. I don't have a good enough voice to worship. I just want to praise in my own way. That's not my style. Dance? I can't dance. I'm a man. Well, I don't know. You were scooting the boot pretty good Praise the Lord. Back in the day. Those are all just fleshly excuses of what getting in our way. Like, oh, Pastor, you're putting us to the test. I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost says. That's up to you whether you get in the frame or not. We're not going to come around and zap you with something. That's your choice. But I'm just telling you the truth. Well, you know, I had a bad week. I'm sleepy. I'm tired. Today was hard. That's when you need to worship God. Worship says, to the embarrassment of myself, I will do it. God gave me this voice. I'm going to use it. I get tickled at the brave people like myself, because I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying like myself, who may not always carry the tune exactly right. I love it. I don't care. If they're worshiping God, I love it. Yeah, certainly we want things to be good, but that God calls us to do it the best we can and to have good singers and things like that. But if someone just gets up there and starts singing, glory to God. When we first started some years ago, we had a service in our house. We just started preaching the word of faith. We were so blessed because we got into a group that it was truth and spirit. It was both. And there was this girl named Trish, and she came and she didn't know anything about God, but she got to know the Spirit. And I'm telling you, one night that girl danced like David must have danced. Yeah. She was flailing.
It was tribal. It was primitive.
Deb's saying it was tribal.
It was just raw primitive.
It was amazing. And nobody went, look at Trish, she looks so stupid. No, we were like, glory to God, she felt free enough to do that. Deb and I had the privilege of sitting on the front row at the Believers Convention, and I think at the first or second night, Pastor George invited everyone down to worship, and I just stood there and I just felt like crying because every flavor, every flavor was down there worshiping God, and the black people were looking so cool, and the white crackers were, you know, but they all were praising God.
Yeah.
Jumping and spinning, and there were some of them just going, and that was okay. And some of them just stood there like this. It was just so wonderful. And you get real crowded, and I always tell Deb, watch your feet, because they're all going to come running down there. It was so beautiful to watch people praise God. It's been so beautiful all these years to actually watch people worship the Lord. Don't you feel like that? I'll worship because you're worth it, Lord, even if I don't feel like it. I'll cause myself to remember that the Lord owns everything except my worship. He owns everything except my worship. I have to give him that. I have to give him my worship. And he won't take it. You have to give it to him. Glory to God. Spectating is not participating. And it hinders worship. When am I spectating? When I begin to watch the proceedings. Jessie looks cool. She's singing good. Yeah, it's good. Is that little kid going to the bathroom? Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, yeah. Man, are they almost done? I hope we're going to get out of here. When I begin to believe that the leaders have to conjure it up for me. Man, they're not getting us where we need to go. Well, won't you get us where we need to go? It's not just up to these men and women. There's no such thing as intercessory worship. The prayers can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You got to worship yourself. You have to do it yourself. We can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. Great music is nice, but it's not essential. Doesn't have to be. When am I spectating? When I begin to critique. When you critique, your own heart is silent. Come on, church. When you critique, your own heart is silent. Was that a little pitchy? How was that? Uh-uh. Your heart gets silent. What we're doing is we want to, each of us individually, lift up our hearts. We want to praise God. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You know football? Is there any person in here who's never watched football? Every person here and probably every person watching online, 150 million people who need exercise watching 22 people who need rest. Is that right? Worship is not a spectator sport. It's just what we do. It's what we do. Worship is not congregational. Worship is not just a ministry of the musicians. Worship is your privilege and it's your responsibility. And it's not just the ministry of the sheep. King David said in 2 Samuel 6:21-22, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. The pastor is the key to the worship ministry. And they have one role in worship that far outweighs any other. They have to do it first and foremost. They have to be an example. Well, listen, I've been around this for a long time. And I've seen this. Larry and Jesse, just stand up where you are. We're going to pretend something here. And y'all are just standing there. And these are two preachers that come in, and then I'll just be the pastor. Let's pretend like I was the pastor of this church. So I'm coming in. Hey, how you doing? You been doing all right? Y'all been all right? Good, good. Hey, I need to tell you about it. While the worship's going on? Uh-uh. But I've lived with that because I go out and preach places. You may be seated. Thank you. I don't like it. And they'll come and try to talk to me, and if it's their church, I'll try to behave appropriately. But I do my best to get right back into worship. We're supposed to worship. I'm about to preach. And I'm going to stand there and visit when I need to be worshiping God, when all these guys have worked hard to come and bring what they believe God said they're going to bring, and we're going to give something to the people, and the preacher's just walking around shaking hands. I just don't go for it. I think if the pastor won't worship, the church won't worship. They may act like it, but they need to lead much more in this area than even in the preaching. If they're a worshiper, then they won't have to preach on worship very often because the people will follow them. Amen. Amen. Congregational worship is not the preliminaries. People must encounter Jesus. It's not a time filler. Well, let's get up and stretch our legs and sing another song. No. And it's not a transition maker. Say, why don't you have a song right after the offering? Because that's not how God told us to make the transition. We're not going to just do that because every other church did it. We're going to transition however God leads us to transition. Well, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? Well, why don't you think about what you're asking? I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just saying, stop and think about these things. We're talking about the leading of the Spirit. If God says sing a song there, we'll sing a song there. If God says do three and quit, if God says keep, we're going to do that. If God says don't preach, we're not going to preach. If God says only prophesy, we're only going to prophesy. It's not just a filler. A true worshiper loves Jesus extravagantly and intensely. You believe that, church? Thank you for it, Lord. I want to make one more, about five more sentences here, and then we're just going to pray. We said that worship is not music. Music is not worship. However, music is a vehicle to carry worship. And I want to tell you that sound is important. Sound does go on forever. Every time you lift your voice, it's continually before the throne of grace. Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, 9 says, tells us that Lucifer was a worshiper. He was the head of worship. And he was built with instruments. The only problem with him is he got out from under authority. He wanted to go his way. I can do it better. Y'all, let's do it this way. That'll preach right there. Did you know you have an instrument? Well, not me. I don't. Yes, you do. You have a very small harp in your ear. You have a little bitty harp spelled C-O-R-T-I. And when a sound is made, there are little corresponding strings on the inside of your ear, and they vibrate. And they vibrate for people, and people that can hear pitch really well, their little harps are working very well. There's some people who have little harps that don't work quite so well. But some people have really good ones. I don't know why that's true. I just know it's true, and you know it's true. But you actually do have a little instrument in your head. But I want to tell you something. Even if you're not on pitch, you worship the Lord. Even if you don't think you're perfect at what you do. I mean, me and Deb all get in there. I got a little baby Taylor guitar, and we'll get in there. And so I'm in there trying to play it. Where's that chord? Where's that chord? I'm going to try to figure out that chord. Danny will come in and say, I think that's E minor right there. Oh, yeah, that's it. And we're just in there playing and just worshiping. And you know, I've played a little since I was 12 years old, but never very good, but enough to worship God. And if you don't play anything, you've got a voice. Yeah. And if you're too shy to stand up and worship for people, just get in your car and let her go. Yeah. Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. And I lift up your wonderful name.